You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode is brought to us by the live NBA Draft Show. NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today. Watch our live coverage next Thursday, July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern. That's 6 p.m. Central Time. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy weekend. Today's show, a couple things to talk about. The Olympics, of course, kick off this weekend. This evening, the opening ceremonies broadcast on, they're happening this morning, but they're broadcasting on NBC this evening. And basketball starts on Saturday, late Saturday here in the U.S. So I want to talk a little bit about the first few games of the Olympics, how that sets up, where and when you can watch Timberwolves players and, of course, Team USA take the court in Tokyo. And then I want to get into a little bit of a kind of a fringe trade target. We've talked about the big names, of course, the Ben Simmons, the Miles Turners, more recently Danilo Gallinari. I think more fits the big name category, at least is closer to, I mean, he's not Ben Simmons, but he's closer to that category than some of the other guys I want to talk about here moving forward. Because I've said all along, I think it'd be easier for the Wolves to make a blockbuster to do basically nothing. But there is the possibility they could do something kind of more on the fringes. So one of the names I want to discuss, and I guess the only one we'll really key in on today, is Kyle Kuzma of the Lakers. Is there a possibility Kuzma could be acquired without the Wolves giving up, you know, anything too crazy, right? Like, they're not going to trade Malik Beasley to the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma, right? As much as Lakers fans probably want and think that that's going to happen. It's not. But could the Wolves get Kuzma otherwise? So I want to talk about that. And then Kevin Pelt at ESPN had an interesting article. Basically, it was pretty much the message was beware NBA teams trying to replicate the success of the Suns. And really the Hawks, I guess, were the two. And I've talked about that on the show a little bit. Could the Wolves do that? Well, Pelton throws a little bit of cold water on it. But I want to talk about the 2 points he brings up, the two main points. And, a little bit in the context of the Timberwolves. But I just think it's a really interesting approach that Pelton took. So I want to talk through that here in just a little bit. First, though, a reminder, as always, you can follow or subscribe to this podcast anywhere that you like to listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes Apple, as well as Google, Spotify, and, of course, the all-new Odyssey app. That's Odyssey, spelled A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B-Beacon. That's B-Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so the Olympics start this weekend. Team USA officially plays for the first time on Sunday, or I guess here in the U.S. literally plays on Sunday. It's actually late Saturday night in Tokyo. The game will air live at 7 a.m. Central Time, 8 a.m. Eastern on Peacock, the streaming service, and then we'll tape delay air later in the day, is my understanding. I think a lot of the games will lay out that way. The next Team USA game isn't until late Tuesday / early Wednesday. So it will air live here in the United States at 12:40 a.m. So almost 1 in the morning Eastern, and I guess 11:40 Central Time Thursday night. So late Thursday night against Iran, and that'll, of course, this is pool play to start the Olympics. And then Saturday, early Saturday, so 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern again, the Team USA takes on Czech Republic again on Peacock. All these will be tape delayed later, I would assume, on NBC because it's Team USA men's basketball. It could also be on NBC Sports Network or one of the other networks. So first USA game, early Sunday morning on Peacock or later in the day, tape delayed. Other games of note, of course, include other Timberwolves players that will be Timberwolves players. There's no Wolves players on Team USA, of course. But the first Wolves player to take the court will be Josh Okogie and the Nigerian team. That's a game that's happening at 3:20 a.m. Sunday morning, our time here in the Central Time Zone. It's like a 5:20 p.m. in Tokyo. But that's Nigeria versus Australia. Australia is, of course, interesting. They've got several NBA players. And they'll be taking on the upstart Nigerian team, which impressed an exhibition play that also features a few NBA players, but most notably Josh Okogie. So that will be on Saturday. That would be Saturday here as well. And then Ricky Rubio and Spain take the court on Monday, and that's a 7 a.m. Monday morning game, just like the Team USA kicks off on 7 a.m. Sunday local time. Spain plays 7 a.m. Monday. I'm sure that'll also be on Peacock. And actually, rewinding just a little, late Sunday night, so the 11:40 p.m. Central, 12:40 a.m. Eastern time is when Leandro Bolmaro and Argentina takes on Slovenia. So, I mean, if you're up for watching basketball at odd hours, which I think a lot of us are going to be during the Tokyo Olympics, we've got Team USA Sunday morning at 7 a.m. We've got late Saturday night, Josh Okogie and Nigeria, or I guess middle of the night, Saturday into Sunday. And then early or late Sunday night, then would be Argentina, Bolmaro taking the court at 11:40 Central. And then early Monday, 7 a.m. would be Spain and Ricky Rubio. So right off the bat here, we've got lots of Timberwolves players. We've got Team USA all playing at odd hours. And again, if they're airing live on Peacock, most of them will be tape delayed then on one of the NBC networks later in the day. So some interesting matchups there. Certainly the Nigeria-Australia ones, I would say the most interesting matchup. Argentina-Slovenia should be good as well. So be sure to tune into those. We'll, of course, talk about we could talk about Team USA. We could talk about the first Nigeria game on Monday's podcast. Depending on when I record that podcast, we may be able to talk about Bolmaro's performance for Argentina against Slovenia as well. But with that being late Sunday night, TBD on if that'll be part of Monday's podcast or not. So a full weekend of basketball. Enjoy the start of the Olympics. Enjoy the opening ceremonies. It's awesome that this is getting to happen after, of course, not last year. It's been 5 years since we've had Olympic basketball and Summer Olympics as a whole. So enjoy watching that. We'll talk about anything notable that happens, of course, here on the show. Okay, next what I want to do is I want to dive into the idea of Kyle Kuzma as a potential trade target for the Timberwolves. Could he be an actual trade target? What might he cost? Is it realistic at all? Before we do that, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's more than half over now. You can still track all the action at BetOnline. And also, the NFL's about to kick off. I mean, training camps start like later this week, I believe, or next week, I should say. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code Locked On. Again, that's promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. When we talk about secondary and second tier, I guess, trade targets for the Timberwolves, really my mind goes to guys who are not superstars, but they're players who would be clear upgrades for the Wolves, would immediately become rotation contributors for the Timberwolves, and in some cases could very well be starters from day one. And so there's a lot of names that could fit into that category. It's also the kind of move, and I've talked about this before, I think the Wolves will be challenged to make because of the mix of contracts on the roster and also because of what the Wolves have. I mean, they've got some fringy rotation guys, right? I mean, you look at the Wolves roster, they've got four surefire starters, and five, depending on how you feel about Jaden McDaniels. But then you've got Josh Okogie. Yeah, he's probably a fringe rotation guy in a playoff team, you know, at least in the regular season, maybe an eighth, ninth guy, solid defender. At the moment, I would say Naz Reid, Jalen Noel fit that same category, right? They're guys who have shown the ability to get it done on offense, have had their moments struggling defensively, are still very young. They're probably fringe rotation talent. Jordan McLaughlin's going to be a restricted free agent. So is Jared Vanderbilt. Those guys probably fit that descriptor as well. I do think that they're solid, kind of, they've got upside, right? They're guys who could contribute, but the Wolves also have guys who they're not going to give away for nothing, right? Bolmaro's got trade value. Ricky Rubio's got trade value. Jake Lehman, I guess, would fit the mold of a fridge rotation guy. But you go up and down the roster and there's a lot of those types of players already on the team. And so why would, it's just shuffling the deck for another team to take on a fringe rotation guy for another fringe rotation guy, or a solid rotation guy, I guess, would be what the Wolves would be looking to achieve, right? You'd love to send two of these fringe rotation guys out for one solid player. I mean, Gerson Rosas spoke to this a few weeks ago in media availability when he said that, you know, hey, we think we've got five solid, like, players we want to move forward with as a core, we'd love to have seven or eight. We need seven or eight. So that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to take their ninth to 10th guy and turn them into like a sixth guy, right? That's what every team's trying to do though. So that becomes challenging unless you're attaching draft picks or, you know, whatever that might be. One of the ways Rosas could try and do it is by facilitating three team trades for other franchises, right? I've talked about the possibility of Kyle Lowry being involved in a sign and trade in some way. Toronto's a savvy organization. You know, I talked about that as a possibility, maybe with Philadelphia. Could the Wolves get Ben Simmons with Lowry, you know, in, as part of a sign and trade going to Philadelphia? He's from the area. Philadelphia, we know Daryl Morey loves Kyle Lowry. Could that happen? It's possible. If the Wolves were ever going to acquire John Collins, and I'm firmly in the camp that I don't think that's going to happen, that would be have to be a sign and trade with the Atlanta Hawks. So sign and trades could very well be a part. And also Rosas brought this up a couple of weeks ago, unsolicited, brought up in his media availability the idea of sign and trades being an important way to potentially improve the roster this offseason. So he recognizes with the Wolves' lack of cap space and generally lack of cap space around the league, that's going to be one of the key ways to get things done. So one of the names that fits into that category for me as like a fringe starter on a playoff team would be Kyle Kuzma of the Lakers. Kuzma's kind of been in everybody's mind. He's been rumored as a Timberwolves trade target for multiple years now, even going back before Gerson Rosas. And now he's seen his role kind of shift a couple of times with the Lakers. He signed an extension just prior to last season, a three-year $40 million extension. So he actually gets a raise this year to $13 million. Then he's got two more years, each at $13 million, although the final year of the deal is a player option. So he's, you know, very likely, unless he breaks out in the next year or two, is going to accept that. So effectively, he's got 3 years, $40 million on his deal. He is basically a combo forward, right? He could play both forward spots. He is probably most effective at the four, but he's able to guard the three and the four. He's maybe a little bit overrated as a defender. He's a solid defender and would improve the Wolves' defense 100%. He would definitely improve the Wolves' defense. There's no question about that. But let's not overrate his defensive impact when we're talking about him as a possible trade target. He's a solid three-point shooter, shot 36.1% this year, but that was his best mark since his rookie season. He'd spent the last 2 years under 32%. He had a 30.3 and a 31.6 in there. So for his career, he's a hair below 34% on three-point attempts. And this year, for the first time, he shot more than half of his shot attempts from outside the arc. He also played mostly at the three this year with the Lakers, with a mostly healthy Anthony Davis, and when LeBron was in and out of the lineup, I guess too. But because of those injuries to the Lakers, Kuzma went from being mostly a bench player last season to half the time he was a starter this year. He started almost half the games he appeared in, and he saw some of those numbers tick upwards. He played more minutes, he scored a little bit more, he shot more threes, as I mentioned, because of the Lakers' injuries. But go back pre-LeBron, and he was a starter for a very mediocre Lakers team. He averaged nearly 19 points a game back in the 18-19 season, but that was more of a high usage type year. He was scoring in a lot of different ways, and was obviously a much bigger part of a pre-LeBron Lakers squad. So what is the benefit of acquiring him? Well, the Wolves, I mean, in terms of position, he's similar to Jaden McDaniels in that he can play both forward spots. He's probably best at the four offensively, but defensively can guard threes and fours. So it would give the Wolves another athletic switchable guy who can knock down open threes. And really, Kuzma is kind of what, at this point, I would expect the floor of Jaden McDaniels to become. And maybe that's a little bit of high expectations for McDaniels, but again, I think Kuzma's generally been overrated by the national discourse, I guess. A lot of that due to being with the Lakers. But Kuzma is exactly what Jaden McDaniels was in a smaller role last year, right? He's a guy who can guard both forward spots. He can knock down open threes. He's good in transition. He can be a solid cutter. There's some similarities there. And the Wolves, it wouldn't be the worst thing to have another guy like Jaden McDaniels around, but somebody who has a little bit more of a track record and could step in right now and be your starting four maybe, and then McDaniels becomes your primary backup at the three and the four and plays some heavier minutes as the season goes on. Now, that's Kuzma's contract is a little bit rich, right? Jaden McDaniels is on a late first round rookie deal, so he's got 3 years left at a very modest salary under Timberwolves team control, and Kuzma's owed $40 million over the next 3 years. So that would be a reason to pause, right? Is it worth giving up an asset for a guy who essentially replicates what you've already got, but at, you know, I don't know how many times the cost, like 8 times the cost or something like that. Well, let's talk about what potentially the Lakers could ask for. And this is an idea from Dylan Jackson over at Dunkey with Wolves, one of our writers over there. He put together some multiple potential trades that the Wolves could try and pull off with the Lakers. And there's two of them that I didn't actually love. So sorry, Dylan, but I want to focus on the second one. And that had the Wolves getting Kyle Kuzma. It is a 3-team deal. It's got the Lakers getting Kyle Lowry in a sign and trade. I mentioned earlier, Lowry is a very likely candidate to be signed and traded. The Raptors would get really kind of a haul back for basically just giving up a guy who could have walked in unrestricted free agency. They'd get Ricky Rubio, Marc Gasol, Josh Okogie, and a future second round pick from the Timberwolves. So from the Wolves' perspective, you're only giving up Rubio, Josh Okogie, and a future second. Now, on the one hand, Rubio and Okogie are two of your better realistic trade chips in that they're both expiring. Okogie's a solid defender. Rubio's a solid all-around player. Playoff teams, you know, always have interest in a player like Ricky Rubio and a second-round pick. So, I mean, if you're giving up two expirings in Rubio and Okogie in a second, it hurts a little because now you've basically hamstrung yourself for making any other significant deals unless you're giving up, you know, a major piece, which has been my hesitation for other fringy moves, right? I think the Wolves' best case scenario is to package some of these middle of the road trade assets and maybe a pick to do something major or to get it in as part of a 3-team deal for a big name. This, to me, would be the fallback. If you're convinced that Kyle Kuzma helps make that big of a difference, then giving up Rubio and Okogie in a second isn't the worst thing in the world. But you better be sure about Kuzma because you're locked in for 3 years and $40 million, and he does a lot of what Jaden McDaniels does. I could get my mind around this trade because the Wolves just need more rotation guys, but it also, you could also argue that it shuffles the deck a little bit for the Wolves, right? Because you're trading out two rotation-worthy guys. Rubio and Okogie are both going to be part of the Wolves' rotation as it currently stands, and both would see minutes in a playoff series. Okogie may be ultimately more of a you know, eighth guy, energy, 10 minutes a game in a playoff series type player. But Rubio is your primary backup point guard and one of your main expected contributors on the perimeter, one of the few guys who can defend at an average level on the perimeter for the Wolves. So, is it worth it? Is it worth it to basically get a more expensive version, a fully realized version of Jaden McDaniels for a pair of positive assets and three if you include the future second round pick? That's a really tough question for me to answer sitting here right now. I think this is a trade, if it were on the table, the Wolves would have to take a hard look at. But they would also have to have a plan, right? I mean, they'd have to feel good about Jalen Noel and or Leandro Bolmaro as filling in for Josh Okogie. They'd have to feel good about whatever their backup point guard plan is. If it's handing the keys to Anthony Edwards to run the second unit or Jalen Noel to run the second unit, whatever that might be, they would need to have it figured out or have a veteran point guard they're confident they could sign for the mid-level exception in free agency. But let's not forget, I mean, Kyle Kuzma, even last year or 2 years ago when the Lakers won the championship, it was a career low in minutes. He was mostly a bench guy, but he still averaged 25 minutes a game in the regular season on the NBA champions. So he's got a track record of contributing to winning teams and would very clearly be the Timberwolves pretty much immediately. They're like fifth best player on the team. So I would say it's an overall roster upgrade, but it's also kind of a last resort in my mind, because once you make this move, you've kind of locked yourself in. And unless you're trading first round picks and Jarrett Culver or first round picks and like a real asset, like, if you acquire Kuzma and you feel like you could now trade Jaden McDaniels in a sign and trade for John Collins or a deal for Ben Simmons, I mean, that would be the other possibility, right? Is you've accelerated the timeline on your switchable defense first forward and you then can acquire a Ben Simmons and now you've got your seven guys or whatever. That's a possibility. But I think more likely than not, this is a fallback move to really improve the, you know, the fifth and sixth roster spots on your team would be the goal here. And that's why this would get done if it were to get done. But I'm a little bit dubious on what the cost would be to acquire a player like Kuzma, who, while likely improving the team, would only improve them very incrementally at this stage. Okay, next I want to talk about Kevin Pelton's article at ESPN about the danger of NBA teams like the Timberwolves replicating what Phoenix and Atlanta did this year in the playoffs. First, let's talk about our fantastic longtime friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It is fantastic. It's delicious. If you think that you know about protein bars and you know, you think Princey bars have a certain flavor. I'm sorry, you're wrong. If you haven't had a Built Bar, they taste just like a candy bar. There's also several fantastic flavors: coconut, cherry barcia, mint brownies, one of my favorites, cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box. You'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. That's probably the way to go. That's one of my favorite ways to order them. Check out the macros: 17 to 18 grams of protein in these Built Bars. They're healthy for you. Calories range from just 130 to 180 calories, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and just 4 to 5 grams net carbs. All flavors are amazing. They're all delicious, tasty, healthy. And also, by the way, Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Today is opening ceremonies, so there's nothing more patriotic and delicious and good for you than getting Built Bars today. Built Bar, the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. I talked on the show before about the desire that Timberwolves fans should have, maybe not the expectation, but the hope maybe that the Timberwolves could replicate what the Phoenix Suns and Atlanta Hawks have done. Of course, neither team was in the playoffs last year. The Suns went 8-0 in the bubble, but still missed the Western Conference playoffs. The Hawks weren't even in the bubble just a year ago. Both teams, you know, in the Hawks' case, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Suns, of course, lost in the finals. But both teams had fantastic and unexpected playoff runs, and you know, both teams relied, they made some veteran improvements to their rosters, certainly, but relied heavily on improvement of their existing young talent. And Kevin Pelton wrote an article over at ESPN. It's an ESPN Plus article, so you do need a subscription to read it, but the title's "What Copycat Teams Can Learn from These Topsy-Turvy NBA Playoffs." And he's basically talking about the concern that teams could try and accelerate their timetable unnecessarily. So the example he gives is Atlanta traded for Clint Capella at last year's trade deadline in 2020. They added Bogdan Bogdanovic, Danilo Gallinari. They also added Rajon Rondo, Chris Dunn, some additions that didn't work out quite as well. Of the Hawks' top eight players in playoff minutes, only 3 of them had played on the team in 1920. So they upgraded 5 of their top 8 positions in terms of minutes played for the playoffs. Now, DeAndre Hunter was hurt. I don't believe he would have been in that top 8. He would have been, and he, of course, had been on the team in 1920, so that changes it a little. But still, very notable that some of these other additions are what helped spur the Hawks to their improvement. Phoenix really only added Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, but that's also, what, 40% of their starting lineup, and Chris Paul was their, you know, arguably their second-best player. But Phoenix relied heavily on Devin Booker's improvement, DeAndre Ayton's improvement, Cam Johnson, some of the other young rotation guys. And Pelton makes the case that Atlanta and Phoenix were both outliers for a reason, is how he says it. Oftentimes teams that try and play shortcuts can't do it. And then you set yourself back even further. Interestingly, Pelton says that won't stop teams from trying. And he says that the Timberwolves and the Kings, two long-suffering teams like the Suns, are most at risk of deluding themselves into thinking they can repeat the success the Hawks and Suns enjoyed in the playoffs. Now, I'm going to pause there and add, I don't think the Timberwolves will be deluded into thinking that. I think that Gerson Rosas thinks he's got a playoff team now. I don't think he thinks he has a finals team, right? Gerson Rosas is always going to be big game hunting. He's always going to be looking to add another star, but he doesn't need to add another star. He's got a superstar in Towns. He's got a fringe star in D'Angelo Russell, and he's got a guy who could turn into a superstar in just a year or two in Anthony Edwards. That's a pretty good jumping off point. You add in Malik Beasley, you add in a couple of rotation guys like a McDaniels with some upside, a Ricky Rubio, and this team's, again, in position to potentially be in the playoffs this year. He's not going to do something drastic where he's trading one of those pieces unless it's a Beasley as part of a deal for another superstar. I don't think Rosas is going to further mortgage the future. I mean, he did that by trading for Russell, right? By trading both his draft picks this year and Andrew Wiggins to get D'Angelo Russell. So, you know, I could see the Kings doing something like that. I mean, they're trying to trade Buddy Hield. You know, they've got Bagley out there as well. They've got guys they could try and trade. The Wolves are in a little bit of a different spot. Pelton mentions Charlotte and New Orleans having a better chance at being right with making a jump because they had stronger performances this year. The Pelicans are, of course, a really interesting one because they disappointed everybody and ended up going through a coach in just one season, whereas Charlotte was a little bit of a pleasant surprise. They were projected to be one of the worst 3 or 4 teams in the league, and they made the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Or more accurately, made the play-in game where they were, of course, destroyed by Indiana. But still, they were better than anybody expected. Now, what does that mean for the Wolves? Or I guess I should say the other things that he pulls out of this. Pelton talks about how you can win with playing the right center. So he gives DeAndre Ayton the example of somebody who is relatively matchup proof in the playoffs, whereas say Rudy Gobert was played off the court by the Clippers 5-out system when they basically didn't play big men. And Brooke Lopez had his moments where he struggled, but obviously the Bucks won the title with Brooke Lopez on the court for much of it. Now, that's interesting. Of course, Towns doesn't come up in this article, but Towns is more parts DeAndre Ayton, Brooke Lopez than he is Rudy Gobert, right? I mean, he's not a defense first big man, but and he's not as good of a defender as Brooke Lopez, to be clear. But he's more of a perimeter-oriented guy who can go inside. He's big enough to go inside and play defense. He's agile enough to get on the perimeter and guard a little bit. And obviously, Towns is he's so good offensively, you're never going to take him off the court. But that bullet point to me doesn't really impact the Timberwolves much, because Towns was always going to be playable. If the Timberwolves are in the playoffs, it's because of Karl-Anthony Towns, and he's going to be able to defend enough to keep him on the court. That's not a concern. The other point he makes is the mid-range jumper. This is the first time, and he pulls this from Seth Partnow of The Athletic, of course, the former front office member of the Bucks. He says, this was the first postseason in the past 20 years in which non-paint two-point shot attempts increased in each round and from the regular season to the opening round. So from the end of the regular season to now, there were more and more mid-range jumpers, more and more non-paint twos attempted. This is interesting to me because As much as Gerson Rosas, of course, with the background with Houston and also the Rio Grande Valley Vipers in the G League when he was with Houston, and everything about what the Wolves did under Ryan Saunders, yes, they're going to shoot a ton of threes. They are. But Chris Finch is also totally fine with D'Angelo Russell and Jalen Noel having the green light from mid-range and shooting, you know, from the elbows. I mean, those guys are going to be 50% shooters, roughly, from the elbows. And you can live with that. Those are the two best examples. I mean, they don't have many other guys that shoot mid-range jumpers. Towns is good from the mid-range when he shoots them. But the Wolves are gonna have the system where they've got two or three guys that do that. You look at the Suns, it's basically Devin Booker and Chris Paul shooting mid-range jumpers. The Bucks, I mean, Giannis isn't shooting mid-range jumpers. It's pretty much Chris Middleton, maybe a little bit of Drew Holiday shooting mid-range jumpers. So at the same time, it's not necessarily sustainable. You know, Pelton gives the example. There were the five teams who took the most percentage of their shots, the highest percentage of their shots for mid-range. Two of them were lottery teams, Orlando and San Antonio. The fifth one was the Wizards. They made the playoffs with a below 500 record. So Phoenix and the Clippers, which is the other team in the top five in mid-range jumpers, were the outliers. They were the exception, not the rule, in terms of teams winning with the mid-range shot. But I think Chris Finch's offense will allow for that shot, and I think the Wolves have the personnel to make some of those shots if the defense gives it to them. And we saw this, remember when at the beginning of the 1920 season, D'Angelo Russell put up 50-plus against the Timberwolves when he was a member of the Warriors, because the Wolves' drop coverage was just allowing Russell to shoot from the elbows all game long, and he happily did so en route to 50 points. And if teams defend the Wolves in that way, D'Lo can make them pay. Even Jalen Noel can make them pay. Anthony Edwards didn't shoot very many mid-range jumpers, but I'm sure he'll develop something of an in-between game, whether it's a floater or a mid-range pull-up shot. But he doesn't really need to, though, because he can get to the rim past or through anybody or over anybody. But these things, the thing about the having a big man be playable in the playoffs, and also the mid-range jumper thing, will be really intriguing to monitor moving forward. And Pelton's point is well taken. I mean, teams that are fringe playoff teams need to be careful that they're not selling their soul to make the playoffs. And in some way, it felt like the Hawks were doing that last year, but they were right and the rest of us were wrong. Well, to be fair, I did pick them as the over this year, and I thought they would be a fringy playoff team. I did not think they'd go to the Eastern Conference Finals. But, you know, they had a weird offseason last year, and then all of a sudden, you know, here they are. And now we're talking about them as a potential, you know, perennial contender in the Eastern Conference. So, interesting article. If you have an ESPN Plus subscription, go over to ESPN.com and check it out. Otherwise, that's all I have for you today here on the show. Of course, we'll be back on Monday through Friday next week. We're still in season mode leading into the NBA draft next week, and of course throughout the Olympics. So plenty to talk about. If you're not already following or subscribed to this podcast, you can do that wherever you listen to podcasts. That, of course, includes Apple, Spotify, Google, and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. That's B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that today's show was brought to us by the live NBA Draft Show. That kicks off, of course, next Thursday during the draft. NBA draft goat Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Raphael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Corrales will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to us by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on every single pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage. That's Thursday, July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. That's all we have for you today here on the show. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time. One last reminder, you can still listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y.